Well, good morning. Good to see you all this morning. Thank you, Jerry, for reading that. I appreciate all our visitors that we're seeing here this morning. We want you to know you're our honored guest as we study God and to worship Him this morning. And this week I was, you know, trying to be compelling, I guess, and to think about some ways to capture your attention. So I stuck a little thing on the church's Facebook page, and really it's kind of the introduction this morning. It's, are you looking for something better? Are you one that say things like, if I had better friends and a better job, and if I had better clothes, I could get a better job? You know, this weekend, had some family over there, and Brenda's brother Ray was just retiring from Questar from many, many years of working, and he was trying to decide what was better to do with his retirement. Should he wait and draw on it, or should he take a lump sum and put it into a new annuity so it'd be better for his kids if something happened to him? But we do those things, don't we? We want something better for ourselves, and we want to protect our family, don't we? We do things like we buy insurance, right? Life insurance. Because if something happens to us, we want the best for our kids. We do these things. We're always looking for something better. This morning we're going to take a look at the book of Hebrews, and we're going to take a look at quite a big chunk, actually. You know, this book is written by someone that we don't know who the author is, and that's, quite frankly, it doesn't really matter. But he's writing to some Jewish Christians that, you know, they're starting to have doubts about their Christianity, and he's trying to convince them to stick it out in Christianity because they thought, well, maybe Judaism was better. You know, we do that, don't we? You know, the Hebrew writer says things like, you fled from something. He was referring to Judaism. You fled from Judaism to come to Christianity. Some of you may have been in different religions. Maybe you were in Catholicism, and you fled from that to come to what the Bible says and to Christianity. Or maybe you were somewhere else and you fled to the church. We've all fled from something. Maybe we fled from sin to come to Christ Jesus. Well, this morning we're going to take a look at four different ways that we can see that Jesus, He's way better than anything else. And that first way is you can trust Him. You can trust Him. Jesus has been since the beginning. It doesn't take long for you to open your Bible and to look in Genesis and see phrases like, let us create man in our image. In chapter 1 of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 3, we see a proclamation about Jesus coming. In Genesis chapter 12, that promise that God made to Abraham, that through your seed, all the nations of the world would be blessed. We see it in Daniel chapter 2 and Joel chapter 2, a promise of something better coming. Jesus has been here since the beginning. In John chapter 1, the first few verses, we learn a lot about Jesus. We learn that He's been here since the beginning and that nothing was created without Him. That's John 1, 3. He's been here since the beginning. He's always been. Who else can make such a claim like that? Can Buddha make a claim like that? No. You know, the origin of Buddhism points to one man. His name is, I'm not going to be able to say it, but Siddhartha Gautama, the historical Buddha, who was one born in present-day Nepal during the 5th century B.C. When? Long after Jesus, from his beginning. Can Muhammad make such a claim in Islam? No, he can't. Muhammad was born in 570 A.D. in Mecca, Arabia, which is now Saudi Arabia. He died June 8th of 632 in Medina, founder of the religion of Islam. He didn't do miracles. He didn't die for sins. He's still dead and buried. He can't make that claim. Who can make the claim? No one but the eternal Jesus. No one can. But Jesus Christ Himself. Hebrews 1, 3 through 4 says, who being the brightness of His glory and the expressed image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Having become so much better than the angels, he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Referring to angels there, but no one is exalted more than Christ Jesus himself. Gerald read from Philippians chapter 2 that he didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, but purged himself or emptied himself. He was there with God, but he emptied himself. The Hebrew writer says, to be brought a little bit lower than the angels, but God exalted him to his right hand. Who can make such a claim? Nobody can. Nobody but the eternal Jesus can make a claim such as that. There is no name other than Jesus. He's the unique one of God. He's the only begotten one. He's the innocent one. He's the Lamb of God. He is the firstborn from the dead. He is the Ancient of Days. Daniel chapter 7. Jesus is exalted above all names. Ephesians 1, 20 through 21. There is no one like Jesus. The Bible records historically for us that nobody is like Jesus. And because of that, because of his eternalness, because of his faithfulness, you can trust him. There's a second way that we see Jesus is better hope. He is the better hope, Hebrews 7:19. That's how we draw near to God. Jesus is the best priest. The Hebrew writer goes into great extent about proving Jesus is better than a high priest. He talks about Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, wow, this is mysterious. If you studied about Melchizedek or tried to study, there's not much, but the Bible says more about Melchizedek in Hebrews chapter 6 and 7 than anywhere else in the Bible. It's more than in Genesis when Abraham first encounters Melchizedek. But the point is that Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. And according to Judaism, Abraham is the father, right, of Judaism. He's the promise came through him. And if Abraham was great, then Melchizedek must really be great. The Hebrew writer says that he is without beginning and without end, without mother, without father. It's mysterious. He is an ancient priest of Salem. It's mysterious. But Jesus is better than Melchizedek. He is a true priest that ministers to God. You see, the Hebrew writer goes to a great extent to explain the validity of Jesus as a priest. No, Jesus can't be priest on earth. The interesting thing, which also refutes other things about Christ coming back and reigning on the earth, he can't do that. Hebrews 7:16, who has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. You see, priests were appointed by God, the Aaronic or Aaron, that priestly line, and they all came by that. Jesus was appointed by the oath of God. See, it's more than just being from that lineage and becoming a priest. It was by the oath of God that he became a priest. We also have a better covenant because of the change of the priesthood. You see, he ministers to a better covenant. He ministers to God. We have better promises because of Jesus. We have promises like Hebrews 8:12. I'll be merciful. I'll remember their sin no more. What a great promise. What a great promise. He ministers to God without repeating purification. Hebrews 8:2. You see, the priest, the Levitical priesthood, that once a year when the high priest went into the holiest of all, he had to go through the purification process. See, Jesus doesn't have to do that because he did that one time. Those ministers served the copy. Hebrews 8:4-5, but he, Jesus, ministers to the true tabernacle, the one that's in heaven. And if Judaism was so good that it was a great for the priest to minister to the copy, how much better is it Jesus who serves the true tabernacle in heaven? You see, Jesus is way better. Not only is Jesus a way better priest, but there's a third way that Jesus is a way better plan. And that third way is God having promised something better for us. This is really cool. We go to Hebrews 11 a lot to look at those people that are considered those faithful, don't we? Those that received a great testimony because of their faithfulness. Those were the kind of people that we look to that we see, wow, these guys trusted God. They believed God. They did what He said, and without the receiving the promise, they were faithful. And the Hebrew writer says, they received a good testimony because of that, but they died without seeing the promise. They only looked to the promise. And those are the guys that we look to give us encouragement, don't we? But God promised something way better for us. Isn't that? That's cool. Because we look to these guys for encouragement, and we see the awesome things that they did, but they trusted God. And they never laid hold of the promise. But God promised something us better. That's encouraging. That God did that for us. It should be encouraging for you. We have the promise made to Abraham, Hebrews 6:13. God swore by an oath by two immutable things that it is impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Hebrews 6:19, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. Jesus goes before and offers our sacrifice of living to God. He stands before God all the time. The Hebrew writer says in 4:16 that let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need because of Jesus. You see, nobody can do that. The Pope can't do that for the Catholics. The priest in Catholicism can't do that. They really can't atone for sin. Only Jesus can atone for sin. Only Jesus can do that. Are you still struggling in your mind thinking that something better is going to come along? This morning I'm telling you that there's nothing better than Jesus. There's no plan. Jesus is the plan. No one can come to the Father except through Jesus. There's no way we can do it on our own. The only way we can do that is by trusting in Jesus. The fourth way that we can see Jesus as a way better plan, and that is we have a heavenly country. We have a heavenly country. The Hebrew writer says, they died in their faith not receiving the promise. But they died looking to that promise. Hebrews 11:13-16, let's just go there together and read that. It says, these are faithful people that we're talking about that's in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims here on the earth. For those who say these things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they have called to Him that country from which they had come out of, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. See, we've got something way better than U.S. citizenship. We've got something way better in Christ Jesus. We have a heavenly country that will never be destroyed. You see, this earth is going to be burned up and it's going to be melted into the very elements that Jesus or that the Godhead created it in. Nothing is going to be left. All the work and the strife that we're going through here on this earth, we're looking to something way better. A heavenly country. You see, they could see them afar off. Can you see your heavenly country? Do you stop and ponder the heavenly country? The Hebrew writer says, they embraced it. They held on to it. And those, because of that, they received a good testimony. And they died in that faithfulness. And if they could die in that faithfulness, can you not see your heavenly country? Can you embrace it and proclaim it and confess that you're a stranger here? Is that something that you're willing to admit? That you're really a stranger here on the earth? Do you realize how incredible this heavenly country is going to be? You see, Jesus is the way better plan. Can you lay hold of the hope promised by God? I would submit to you this morning that if you can lay hold of that hope that's promised by God, you're going to go down as one of these faithful in the Lamb's Book of Life. You'll be called the faithful. Because you're looking forward to a heavenly country. Hebrews 9, 11 through 12 says, "But Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood He entered the Most High, once for all, having obtained an eternal redemption." This is the call of the Messianic age that was promised through Abraham. See, Jesus is the way better plan. The Hebrew writer would point to Jesus as a high priest because those other priests, that they couldn't serve a lifetime out in that duty. But Jesus now serves in that capacity eternally. You see, He's not going to die again. He serves eternally, and He serves so that you can come to God. And He entered that most holy place with His own blood on that body that God prepared for Him. He purified the tabernacle, and now He stands before God ministering eternally on your behalf. He is the mediator of the new covenant. He stands before God all the time. If God took a day off, I think the universe would fly apart. But He's always working. Jesus is always working so that you can have hope of an eternal life with Him and His Father in heaven. That's a way better plan, folks. That's awesome. How could you describe it any other way that this plan, it's just awesome. That this was worked out since the beginning of time. See, Jesus is the way better plan because we can only put so much into this world and into this life. And one of that is to live faithfully to Him, to live faithful unto death, to proclaim the good news. Each of us have a responsibility to live a life that's a sacrifice that would cause others to say, "What's going on in your life?" And you feel compelled to talk about Jesus and what He's done. And you can talk about the way better plan because of Jesus. You see, nothing out there offers what Jesus can offer, and it's eternal life. Because of the love that Jesus had for His Father and the love that He had for mankind, He offered Himself as a way better sacrifice. One time, that's all it took. It doesn't have to be repeated over and over and over again. It's the one sacrifice that appeased God. He was satisfied. You know, many of us search self-help books and things out there, and we ask those questions. What am I doing here? Well, the Bible tells us what you're doing here. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes that the whole duty of man was to serve God. God loves you. And He's got a way better plan set aside for you. If you'll trust Him, if you'll believe what He says. You know, you can look out there at people's broken lives, can't you? It's easy to see the brokenness in this world. And when people say that this is right when we know it's wrong, the world is broken. And you have within the grasp of your hands the eternal hope for mankind. What a great message. You have the best plan. You have the best financial plan for the future for somebody to lay up that hope and that treasure in heaven. We can work so hard on this earth and working towards physical things and pleasure and our own selfishness. But there's such a way better plan for mankind. And you know it. You have the ability to tell people. You know, we've been talking about all kinds of different ways to do evangelism lately. WEI and World Bible School and all the different things that you do out there. Because you're concerned about the lost. It's because it's a way better plan. And people are hungry for something better. We know they are. You just have to look and see it. They're hungry for something better. And that better is Jesus. He has restored eternal life for us because of His sacrifice, because of His love. This morning I want to ask you a question. Can you see your heavenly country? Have you embraced it? Are you living a faithful life? Will you this morning lay hope of the promise of God? If you'll lay hope of that promise of God, you'll live an eternal life one day. Right now, we live in hope that by the power of God, when He raised Jesus from the dead, He's going to do the same thing to us. That's a hope that we live in. You know, that's way better than trying to build a bank account full of money, isn't it? That all that's going to be burned up someday. If you can lay hope of the promise of God, then this morning I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you to consider the fact that the Hebrew writer tells us we have a way better hope in Christ Jesus. Don't turn back. He says, now live your life with endurance. Work and live faithfully. That's what we have to do right now as individual Christians. If you're not an individual Christian, you have the chance this morning to put Christ on in baptism, to lay hold of that promise. If you're studying it, you're convinced of it, there is no better time than right now to do it as we all come and we stand and sing together. Will you anchor?